Hey, this is Adam Starling. I'm the senior pastor at Victory Family Church. Thank you so much for joining us today. I pray this message will inspire you, encourage you, and hopefully challenge you to become everything that God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Oh, let's give it up for all the moms. Can we just give it up for all the moms in the room? Love you. Grateful for you. Yeah. Happy Mother's Day to all of you, moms, single moms, grandmothers, everybody. Now, I got to give it up for my wife is an incredible mom. Chrissy's an incredible mom to our two awesome kids, and I think they're turning out okay because she's a great mother. And so my mom was at the 8:30, and I'm grateful for my mom. She clearly did a great job, and so I'm always grateful for her. I'm kidding. And then I even have a mother-in-law that's great. Like, I had the trifecta. I got a great wife who's a good mom, a great mom, and even a great mother-in-law. So super, super grateful for the moms in my life. And I also want to acknowledge this. I know as exciting and as fun and as great as Mother's Day is, I know for some ladies, it's a tough day. It reminds you maybe of something you don't have or you lost. It's maybe a reminder of pain from past. So I just want to say this before we kind of jump into the message today. We see you and we love you and we're here for you. But more than us, I just want you to know God sees you. God cares deeply for you. And know this, even in the difficult season or difficult days, God is certainly with you, all of the moms, and certainly all of you in this room. Moms, you ever have a plan that just didn't go according to plan? It's just like you just like, you had this idea, or maybe you saw something, you thought, man, we're gonna, like, I'm gonna do this, and it just doesn't work out. I'm 100% certain, ladies that had some really good ideas, and it just didn't work out. So let's do this first one. Like, all of us, like, we see these pictures, and we're like, I want that to be, like, I want a baby picture that's just like that. And so we see that, and we think, I'm going to pull that off, and it ends up more like this. Right? You think it's just like, we had a plan, it didn't work, we tried it, right? Here's another one. Like, you know, your kids got their friends coming over, and you're like, I'm gonna make these look, it'll be like banana with a little chocolate on top, it's gonna be awesome, and then you try it yourself. It's just not very good. It's not. Come on, moms, how many done that? How many done something like that? Yeah, let's be honest. All right, and this last one, man, you're just trying to make a cake. First of all, you know where it's headed. It's too ambitious. Let's see how this plays out. It's the worst. Some of y'all dream about that one tonight. You're going to dream about that. You wake up in the middle of the night like a cat, like cake cat, right? So next week, we're actually going to start a brand new series on the life of Samson. But today, on Mother's Day, we're actually going to talk about Samson's mom. She thought she knew the plan for Samson's life, but it didn't really go according to plan. Sometimes Samson's life was way worse than a Pinterest fail. Judges chapter 13, verse 1 says, again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. A certain man of Zorah named Manoah from the clan of the Danites had a wife who was childless, unable to give birth. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, you are barren and childless, but you are going to become pregnant and give birth to a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink and that you do not eat anything unclean. We're going to see in this passage that God clearly always has a plan. In verse 5, it goes on to say, you will become pregnant and have a son whose head is to never be touched by a razor because the boy is to be a Nazarite dedicated to God from the womb. He will take the lead in delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines. So God has this very, very clear plan, and he unveils this plan for the life of Samson. And all of us, parents, we have plans for our kids. I've had plans for my kids even before we had kids. And you think through the plans for your kids, and then we had a son, and then we had a daughter. As they get older, those plans continue to evolve. But I got plans. I know where I want them to go to college. I know what I want them to do for a living. I know my daughter is going to respond to a biblical higher calling of singleness. Lord, hear my prayer, the cry of my heart. Listen, I'll be honest. I want a ranch. My daughter probably get married. It's fine. But I want a ranch, but I want to build a house. And I want my kids to build houses on my ranch. And I want my grandkids to come swim in my pool every single day. That's what I want. I got a plan. But as parents, we've really got to understand that God has a plan. And in fact, God's plan is a lot better than our plan. My kids may have my DNA, but they're God's creation. They belong to Him. He loves them, and He custom designed them for a specific plan and a specific purpose that, frankly, as parents, we may not be aware of. And the reason why sometimes God doesn't let us in on the plan for our kids is because we would screw it up. But your kids' ability to fulfill their purpose is not dependent on them submitting to your plans. It's dependent on them falling in love with Jesus and submitting to His plans. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." This is true for Jeremiah. It's true for Samson. Even before he is conceived, God reveals to his mother, "I got a plan for this kid's life." That's true for our kids, and it's true for us. And if we're honest, sometimes it's difficult for us to submit to God's will and God's plan for our own lives. Like, we know it is God's plan and God's will for us to die to self. That's tough sometimes, or all the time. Unwarranted forgiveness is tough. Turning the other cheek is tough. Chasing God and not selfish ambition can be tough at times. It is all worth it. Certainly it's worth it. It all comes with greater eternal rewards, greater peace, and greater joy, but it's not always easy. And as tough as it is for us to submit our lives to God's plan, it's even tougher for us to submit our kids, because we like control and we think we know best. You know, we got to learn how to trust God. Even though my flesh at times has concern, my spirit is at ease knowing that my kids are in God's hands. Like I said, my daughter probably going to get married, and the worst part is she's probably going to marry somebody that I like. I'm probably going to like the guy. I'm going to hate that I like the guy. We're taking our kids to the Dominican here in a few weeks, and I'm excited to be the first mission trip that my kids have ever been on, and we'll go into Haitian villages in the heart of the Dominican. And I told Chris the other day, I said, "Man, I just really feel like there's a good chance, just knowing London's personality, that she's just going to fall in love with the Haitian people, and she's going to want to, as soon as she graduates high school, she's going to move to Haiti and be a missionary the rest of her life, and we'll see her once a year, right?" Like, so that's, like, that scares me as a dad. But we have to learn how to submit to God's plan, because God's plan is better. His plan is better. Samson's mom understands God has a plan. God's plan is better. But she also knows this, God's way is different. Verse 7 goes on to say, "But he said to me, 'You will become pregnant and have a son. Now then, drink no wine or other fermented drink, and do not eat anything unclean, because the boy will be a Nazarite of God from the womb until the day of his death.'" So not only is God saying, "I got a plan," he says, "You have to live your life different and raise your life different, or raise your son different from the rest of the culture." The Nazarite vow was something that very few Israelites took, and it was taken specifically to be set apart and to be different from everybody else. God is calling us to be different from culture and from the rest of the world. I've heard it said like this: your destiny is determined by your daily walk. God's plan for your life, it's not just always, you don't just wake up one day and, "Here, God just gave me this great plan, I'm just smacked down." No, it's a daily walk. It's daily disciplines. That's what will differentiate us. It'll what differentiate our children from the world. John 17 says we're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. We're supposed to be different. We should be set apart from the culture. We should raise our kids different from everybody else. And the reality is, it's not easy, and none of us actually know what we're doing. None of us. And as soon as I figure it out, they change. Those kids, they change. And it's like, oh. This is what I love in this next verse, verse 8. This is the dad's prayer. And I love it because the dad is so helpless and hopeless. And this is a typical dad. Verse 8. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord. And I'm going to say it in his voice. Pardon your servant, Lord. I beg you to let the man of God you sent to us come again to teach us how to bring up the boy who is to be born. He's like, God, listen, excuse me, God, pardon me, Lord. Send that angel back to teach us how to do this thing because we have no idea what we're doing. That's what he says, and that's my prayer all the time. God, just send me an email. Like, could you send me an email? Just like, you know, just send me an email. Tell me how I'm supposed to do this because I don't know. I'm confused. They're confusing. How in the world do I raise a kid? And everybody's got their opinions, right? And opinions make moms feel guilty. They make dads angry. They make moms feel guilty, all right? Yeah, should they be a homeschool kid? Should they be a private school kid? Should they be a public school kid? You're just trying to find a French fry out of the back seat of the car, and mom giving you guilt about it. You should only eat organic. It's only be organic. Everything got to be organic. 50 years, we're going to find out organic's what's killing everybody. I'm just telling you. Those French fry kids, they're going to be strong. Your organic kid going to be soft. I'm just telling you. We're going to find out. Everything we think is true, right? Everything you thought was true 30 years ago, it ain't true no more, right? I don't know. I got heart issues. Do I eat salt? Do I not eat salt? I don't know anymore. Like, am I supposed to have meat or not? I don't know. You let your kids play video games? You not let your kids play video games? I don't know. And so many moms have guilt over a little bit of McDonald's and a little bit of Fortnite. Just listen, do the best you can do. Pray and seek God. Do the best you can do and don't have guilt about any of that stuff. Here's my prayer for you. Focus less on those things. And I'm not saying those things are important. And listen, we try to make our kids eat healthy, okay? I'm just being stupid, right? That's a lot of emails, mom. Because organic moms are tough. Let's be real. Passionate. Organic moms and essential oil moms, they're the same. Right? You know what I mean? I'll move on. It's Mother's Day. I apologize. Let's get back to the note. None of that's in my notes. I don't plan it. I just the spirit. Let me get serious. Here's my prayer. This is true. Just focus less on that. And again, you should focus on whatever you feel like you think is healthy for your kids. But the primary focus has to be raising biblical, God-fearing children. Like, it's pretty simple to look around and know, like, culture is getting less and less Jesus-centered. So we have to make intentional family decisions to make sure Jesus is the center of our lives. I'm going to tell you, here's some things we do in our home. I've got a 12-year-old and a 14-year-old. My son will be a freshman. My daughter will be in eighth grade next year. I am not saying I'm a better parent than you because I know that I'm not. I mean, a couple of you I know that I am. But for the most part, I'm not. Here's what I'm going to say some of this. It's not because I think you should do it my way or you should do it our way. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying when your kids say, nobody else does this, you can say, Adam does this, send him an email. He likes those, so just, it's fine. Like, listen, my daughter doesn't have a phone. My son has a phone, and it can make phone calls, it can text, and he can play music. And everything that he listens to, every text that he sends or receives, and every phone call that he makes goes straight to Christy's computer. We see it all. I know some of you think, well, that's controlling. Well, that's fine. I'm just telling you what we do. You do it however you want to do it. And my kids don't have social media. They will not have social media as long as they're in my house. And I've had them watch some videos about social media. Now they don't even want social media. We pray with our kids every day. We pray with our kids every single day. When we fast, our kids fast. My son plays on a club. Both my kids play on club soccer teams. And my son's practice is on Wednesday nights. He doesn't ever go to practice on Wednesday nights because God's house is going to be a priority, and church is going to be a priority. But most importantly, God is going to be the priority. Now, occasionally he misses on a Sunday when they have tournaments. But like a couple weeks ago in Kansas City, he went to a church without me and with another parent because I was at a different game. But I'm not saying like this is what you have to do. I'm not saying I figured out a formula. All I'm saying is dig into God's word, pray a lot, and seek godly counsel on decisions that you make intentionally for your family. You will not unintentionally raise godly kids. It's not possible. You'll raise godly kids because you're very intentional about the life that you lived in front of them. Because here's the thing. If you want your kids to be different, we got to be different too. We got to be different. If you look in the scripture, God first called Samson's mom to be different. He said, you're going to be different, then this is how you're going to raise your kid different. When I was a youth pastor, I was much younger and even more stupid back then. And so there was a mom that called me. I was like 25 years old, and there was a mom that called me, and she said, can you meet my son? I said, of course. She said, he's 16. And she goes through all these issues. I mean, just down a list of all these issues she has with her son. And it was a long, long, long list. And I just, like, I was overwhelmed by this list. And so I said, do you mind if I ask you a few questions? And so I just started asking her all of this same list. I was repeating back, is this what you do? And so she was mad. He was drinking. He was smoking. He was cussing. He was sexually active. He was all this stuff. And she had told me that she had a live-in boyfriend and all. And so I just go down this list. And so I just go back. I said, do you drink in front of your son? Yeah. Do you cuss in front of your son? Yeah. Do you smoke in front of your son? Yeah. Your boyfriend lives in your house? Yeah. I said, I don't think I can help your son. She said, why not? I said, because he's just like you. Now, she cussed me out and hung up on me. And so, it didn't go well. And I wish I would have done that different. But the reality is the example that we live in front of our kids is the most important thing we can do. Even if your kids are insanely faithful to church and they're here for an hour and 15 minutes on Sunday, an hour on Wednesday, they're with you 24/7. Like, our youth pastors aren't their pastors. I'm not their pastors. You're their pastor. You're their pastor. Let your kids hear you pray. Let your kids watch you read God's word. Let them see you worship. Apologize to your kids when you make mistakes. Extend grace when they don't deserve it. Figure out ways to let them see you serve others. More importantly, maybe serve with them. Samson's mom knew there's a plan. She knew she had to be different, and she would soon find out God's faithfulness is forever. Our video crew filmed several moms in the church a few weeks ago. I'm going to share that video with you today.
I'm Sandy. I'm from Victory Family Church in Shawnee. I have a 40, a 37, a 36, and about 11 to 13 grandchildren, I believe.
My name is Trisha Brown. I am also part of the Shawnee campus, and I have two beautiful children, and they fill my days with chaos and joy.
I'm Sarah Steele. I'm at Victory Family in Norman. We are blended with five girls, ranging from 17 to 9.
I'm Beverly Wright. My husband and I met him with two boys, and so we started off with those, and then we added another son and daughter. So I have four children and two granddaughters that, although the kids are gone, the granddaughters bring the chaos. Yes. I love it. It's good.
I'm Chelsea, and I go to VFC Norman, and I have three boys, 3, 5, and 7.
My name is Daisy Galindo. We go to VFC Newcastle, and we have two girls, Elena, who will be 2 in November, and then Emily, who will be 7 in August.
My hardest thing that just sticks out to me is when Joshua like the first child I gave birth to, and that was with me the whole time of his life, went to college.
Wow.
And I just, you know, for 18 years, he's at the breakfast table. I'm making his breakfast. I'm doing all the things. And then all of a sudden, he's just not there, you know. And it was really difficult. I mourned him. I just grieved. Really, I did. And
how long ago was that?
Well, he's 27, so almost 10 years.
10 years, okay.
I might be getting over it. It's still fresh.
I would say the hardest part for me being a mom is the moments that I just miss it, like I lose it as a mom, or I like yell at my kids, or like I hate that. Like I don't want to be that mom that yells at my kids.
Where I am with raising kids, I want to be at everything. I don't want to miss anything. But when you have 5 kids going 12 million directions, how do you choose?
I think we all need to extend grace to ourselves, but I, like you, my toughest mom moments are the moments when I lose it, the moments when I know that I have failed, that I just, and I hurt the heart of my kids, you know, and then I have to be humble enough to go and apologize and right the wrong and ask for forgiveness and, you know, learning to do that.
They're so quick to forgive, and I think how you said, like, we need to humble ourselves and just go tell them, I'm sorry. The most important thing is that they know that they're loved by us, but most importantly by God. And so being intentional with our parenting is
absolutely
good.
My 40-year-old, she was raised in the church, Sheena, and she had some things happen to her that just really hurt her. And at this moment in time, she has stepped away from the faith. But just like my mother prayed for me, and I'm walking in the promises of my mother's prayers, I know for a fact it'll happen for her. I know it's just a matter of time. I may see it now, I may not. But just stay the course, just stay the course, and know that God hasn't forgotten about you.
Yes.
You know, he's like, even at 65, I'm fulfilling my promise in you. So just show up.
My second oldest is the same, you know. You know, I talked in 1 Peter about shepherd the flock. And I think for me and for my husband as well, we are in the shepherding phase, you know, for our adult children. And so we just continue to shepherd him and to, like you said, trust the Lord with him. I mean, I think the promises are there, you know, train up a child. You know, it's just all of those things we hang on to. He's an incredible man, but he's just not where I would want him to be. But then I have to trust that the Lord sees him.
I know when both of my brothers, when in their late teens backslid, and then my mom literally prayed them back in, and they're both now pastors in the ministry. But like that, you know, she said she just held on to the promises of God because the scripture says, you know, that the word of the Lord will not return void, but it will accomplish that which it sent forth to do. But one of my brothers said, and this really stuck with me, he said, Mom, I came to a point in my walk where I was so far away from the Lord, he said, but I couldn't run from the love of God any longer.
Ooh,
and he said, I saw the love of God in your life. I saw it reflected. Every time I walked back into the house, he said, just the love of Jesus was just all over me. Yeah, and he said, you loved me with an unconditional love. And he said, that's what brought me back. I think being older, I have finally settled into the Mary part of it instead of the Martha. I used to be the Martha where I used to get so busy, and you know, but now I can tell when I'm depleted and I need to stop, because I can never minister to anybody if I don't sit at his feet and get everything I can.
If God has given us the ability to bring life into the world, he has also given us the anointing and the wisdom and the grace to bring that seed to fruition. We forget that we have a Holy Spirit, and we forget that we have his promises, and we forget that there's an anointing to do what we do as moms and as mothers, and there's wisdom available, because God would never ask us to do something that he would ask us to take responsibility and accountability for something that he hasn't also graced and anointed us to accomplish and given us the tools to do it well.
It was great talking to you guys. Yeah. This is so enjoyable.
Yeah, I love it.
I would love for you to go watch that the rest of that video. It's a longer, awesome video on YouTube. And I think one of the themes, especially that we caught for this little segment, was just the faithfulness of God. And we're like, we know God has a plan for my kids. We know that we can surrender our lives to His plan. We know we can train our kids to live the life that He's called them to live. But at some point, we also know that it's up to our kids. At some point, they have to make their own decision to live for God and surrender to God and to follow God. And there's some moms in this room that, man, you're seeing the faithfulness of God. And there's some other moms in this room that you're trusting in the faithfulness of God, even though you can't see it right now. After realizing this was an angel from God, Samson's dad was like, oh no, we've seen the Lord, we're about to die. And mom comes in with great mom wisdom in verse 23. But his wife answered, if the Lord had meant to kill us, He would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor shown us all these things, nor told us this. She was standing firm on the promises of God about their son. They're not going to die because God cannot lie. His word would come to pass. He is faithful to His word. Verse 24 says, the woman gave birth to a boy named Samson. He grew and the Lord blessed him, and the spirit of the Lord began to stir him. While he was in Mahanadan, I think is how you say it, between Zora and Eshtaol. So, like I said, the next several weeks we're going to get into the life of Samson, but like, there's not like a massive cliffhanger. Like we know how this plays out, right? Several years ago, I took Christy to watch a movie called Miracle, and it's about the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team. And they're the only amateurs, and they're playing against all professionals in the Olympics. Most of you probably seen it. And so they do like a pre-Olympic, like tune-up type of game against the Russians. They get destroyed. And after the end of that game, we're watching it, I lean over and I tell Christy, I said, I cannot believe we win the gold. She said, what? And I was like, I can't believe we win the gold. And she was like, why would you tell me that? And I was like, you didn't know that? And she was like, no, you ruined the whole movie. And I'm like, it's history. Like, what do you mean? And I think when you go through a story like Samson, it's kind of like that. Like, certainly, like, you know that Samson does these great things and he kills people. Like, and we're going to get deep into it. But you know it doesn't actually end well. So it's not like a cliffhanger. But for a second, I just want you to imagine the thought process and the emotions of his mother. The angel of the Lord appears to you. You're going to have a son. He's going to be set apart. He's going to lead the Israelites. That's incredible, right? I'm so proud, and there's so much pressure. And then all of a sudden, this boy is born. Now he's growing into a young man, and you see him grow into this great warrior, and you see him fear God, and you see him live in the authority of the Lord. Can you imagine how proud you are as a mother? Watching your son grow into the man of God that's going to lead his chosen people. And then to watch it all unravel publicly. I can imagine the questions from God. This is not our conversation. It's not what I thought we were talking about here, God. Can you imagine? She's... Her and her husband, they're giving him advice. Don't date that girl. Don't get around that girl. He does it anyway. Don't touch that. What are you doing? He does it anyways. Then you watch the very, very public demise and eventual death of your son that was set apart. We're going to get into what that feels like and looks like for Samson, but the devastation of a mother. Watching her son, thinks he's invincible, breaks his covenants with God, loses his gifts, costs him everything. And a lot of moms in this room, you're in a similar spot right now. You raised your kids well. You prayed over your kids. You read scripture with your kids. You raised your kids in church. And you watch them walk away from God, live a life of sin, and it feels hopeless. And my encouragement today, keep on praying and stay faithful. Proverbs 22:6 says, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they're old, they will not turn from it. We know this. God's promise was actually fulfilled in the life of Samson. If you go all the way back to verse 5, it says this. He will take the lead in defeating the Philistines. Another version says he will begin to save Israel from the hands of the Philistines. In his final moments of his life, he killed 3,000 Philistines, and there was that moment that began to turn the tide. That's when the Philistines begin to loosen their grip. That began something that would continue and then be fulfilled through Samuel, Saul, Jonathan, and David. Judges 16:28, then Samson prayed to the Lord, Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just one more time. Let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson reached toward the two central pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one, his left hand on the other. Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than when he lived. Not how they wanted that to end. But it's also important to know that God redeemed the terrible choices Samson had made. He fulfilled his promise even when Samson didn't always live according to his plan. Moms and even dads, maybe the plans that you had for your kid didn't work out the way you anticipated. You raised your kid well, and now they seem like a prodigal, far from God, living anything but for the Lord. But I want to remind you, prodigals come home. Prodigals come home. God is still good. God is still faithful. They may be out of your house, but maybe your job is even more important now. Maybe it's not in how you raise them and how you teach them. Maybe it's in spiritual warfare on your knees, praying and believing. I know you're discouraged, and I know at times it seems helpless and hopeless, but do not throw in the towel. Get on your knees and pray and stay faithful. Keep on pressing. Keep on loving them. Keep on forgiving them. It may look different than you hope, but know this, God is faithful. God will do what he says he is going to do. If your kid's in the house, your kid's out of the house, kid's in jail, know this, God's still got a plan for him. God is still in control. And know this, you love your kid. It doesn't even touch the love that our Father has for him. He sent his son to die for them too. That's how much he loves them. You got a plan for their restoration and their redemption? God's plan is still greater than that. Don't give up on them because God hasn't. Don't stop because God hasn't. I can't wait to hear the stories of the prodigals. Heard an awesome story three weeks ago. The prodigal was back in the house of God. Right next to his mom. Prodigals come home. Heavenly Father, we love you. We're grateful for you. We're grateful for your faithfulness. Grateful for your mercy and your grace. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed. Maybe you're here and maybe you are that prodigal. Maybe you're here because mom asked you to be here, but you know you haven't been living for God. Maybe you're here just because it's tradition or ritual, whatever, but you're not living for the Lord. But today you would just simply say, I want to come home. I want to be forgiven of my sin, and I want to begin walking with God. Not just to stay out of hell. I want to walk with God because he created me. He saved me. He loved me. He's in control. That's you all over this room. Say, I want to be forgiven of my sin. I want to begin walking with God. Will you just slip your hand up in the air wherever you're at? Thanks up top. Thanks, several of you. Amen. Anybody else? I want to be forgiven and I want to walk with the Lord. Amen. Everybody pray this prayer together with me. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross and the resurrection. Forgive me of my sins. I refuse to live for myself anymore. I want to live for you. I want to follow you, honor you, worship you every moment of my life. My life is not my own. It's yours. Because you're my Savior, my sacrifice, my Lord, and my King. Thank you for loving me and forgiving me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks so much for joining us today. If you enjoyed today's message, I want to encourage you to like it or share it on social media and tag @VictoryFamily_. If you haven't already, download the Victory Family Church app to stay connected with everything that's happening throughout the week. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome week.